You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
Mr. O'Connor.
What is your real name?
Malcolm. Malcolm X.
Is that your legal name?
As far as I'm concerned, it's my legal name.
Have you been to court to establish that you are?
I didn't have to go to court to be called Murphy or Jones or Smith. Excuse me for answering you this way.
That's all right.
If a Chinese person were to say his name was Patrick Murphy, you would look at him like he's insane, because Murphy is an Irish name, a European name, or the name that has a Caucasian or a white background. And a yellow person, Chinese is a yellow man, and he has nothing to do or no connection whatsoever with the name Murphy. And if it doesn't look proper for a person who is yellow or Chinese to be walking around named Murphy or Jones or Johnson or Bunch or Powell, I think it would be just as improper for a black person or the so-called Negro in this country, as we're taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to walk around with these names. And therefore, he teaches us that during slavery, the same slave master who owned us put his last name on us to denote that we were his property. So that when you see a Negro today who's named Johnson, if you go back in his history, you'll find that he was once his grandfather, or one of his forefathers was owned by a white man who was named Johnson. His name is Bunch. His grandfather was owned by a white man that was named Bunch.
Would you mind telling me what your father's last name was?
My father didn't know his last name. My father got his last name from his grandfather, and his grandfather got it from his grandfather, who got it from the slave master. The real names of our people were destroyed during slavery.
Any point in the genealogy of your family when you did have to use the last name, and if so, what was it?
The last name of my forefathers was taken from them when they were brought to America and made slaves. And then the name of the slave master was given, which we refuse. We reject that name today.
You mean you won't even tell me what your father's supposed last name was or gifted last name was?
I never acknowledge it whatsoever.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart aboriginals.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Do you know what white folks call people like you and me in private? Niggers, dogs. Niggers.
Cet indigène intelligent de radio.
Internet radio for smarter than original.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, transmitting to the people of the fourth world from within occupied North America. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Saluton and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, the Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, logging to the fourth world from aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thanks for tuning in to Indigenous News, thought and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neofascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Where do we begin here? Well, we can begin with the fact that we have the second time Barack Obama has kicked the white supremacist movement in the United States in the ass, and it's fun to watch. It's enjoyable. It really is, you know, a show, but it's not helping the situation, is it? Yes, there's a certain amount of pride in seeing someone who looks like me in the White House, but it's only fleeting. It's only for a second, because I know that he really doesn't give a damn about the rest of the people in the world who look like him. And we have to take that into account, that, you know, this individual is not on the side of people who are struggling against the system. He hasn't been throughout his entire career. You know, you can hear a lot from the rabid right talking about him being a community organizer, but as John Pilger and some others have pointed out, that the company he worked for, I believe it was Business International, we don't really know exactly what he did there, and in the firm itself has a shady background. That isn't connected at all to community organizing. So it's a lot like the nonsense that was pushed with ACORN. It's a lot of propaganda. It's a lot of, just neoconservative fluff. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's a cipher. It doesn't mean anything. But, here we are. So, Gun Appreciation Day has come and gone, and they were holding up posters of Dr. King, talking about, everybody shall be free, and, they've connected this to guns. And the military has jumped onto this. The military propagandists have jumped onto this, and I haven't gone into this too much, and we will in the future, but they're now putting out propaganda that Dr. King would have approved of the weapons of war today. Brother and sister, can you accept that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King would have approved of the modern weapons of war, that he would have approved of torture, he would have approved of indefinite detention, he would have approved of physical and sensory isolation, that he would have approved of waterboarding, that he would have approved of falsified evidence, that he would have approved of iris scans on taxi drivers, For the fact of being Iraqi, for the fact of being Afghanistan, and now we can assume maybe for being Somali, for being Kenyan, from being for Mali, for being a black man on the planet. Septimus Severus, I wrote about this, you know this, I told you that this was gonna, it was gonna be this way. I told you this. I told you this. Colin Powell now wants to talk about how racist the Republican Party is. Well, he's had a hell of a long time to talk about how racist the Republican Party is, and he hasn't. Condoleezza Rice, I'm not going to talk about her roommate, her housemate, her friend. You know, we all, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I don't care what she does in her personal life. And see, the thing about it is, though, you know, you were buying shoes, you know, and went to see Spam-A-Lot while black people were drowning in the Katrina catastrophe. Yeah, see, you know, the African community, those of us who are aware, we have a problem with that. Instead of having Lance Armstrong on the show to talk about him cheating, to talk about him embarrassing the entire country, and to talk about him basically, you know, just disgracing not just his sport, but I mean for everybody who trained legitimately and earned the right to be there. At the Tour de France, right? They earned the right without using performance-enhancing drugs. So, hey. You know, as I said, you know, it says a lot about the United States in general. Not just Lance Armstrong, but about the United States in general. His entire situation, the entire way this has worked out. And, you know, there was always mocking by, the human lawn jockey, Michael Steele, who used to be the chair of the Republican National Committee. Now, I don't know what he's doing now, but, you know, he was out here laughing and pushing the Barack the Magic Negro little musical tidbit that Rush Limbaugh pulled out of his backside. And, you know, in the midst of that, while he's just, you know, not just playing the happy darky, but I mean, really pushing the happy darky in terms of making, you know, making it okay for people to laugh at Barack the Magic Negro. Well, you know, for those of you who understand the history of that, you're going to understand what I'm about to say next. As I said, Lance Armstrong, his entire scandal represents everything that is going on with the United States. The cheating, the do anything for glory, anything to win at whatever cost, no matter how much you have to lie. And then when you do come forward and you do tell the truth, well, we're supposed to feel sorry for you. And that we shouldn't condemn you, even though you basically disgraced an entire sport. Everybody else who competed at your level, who earned the right legitimately to compete at that level, and, you know, the endorsements, all of the young people who looked up to him and what have you. You know, I mean, it says a lot about the entire country. Now, where I'm coming from with this is that where he made his confession of what we all knew anyway. We all knew, you know, it was really coming forth with the obvious. But he goes to Oprah Winfrey, of all people. He didn't go to Barbara Walters, right? He didn't go to any of these other, you know, outlets. He went to Oprah Winfrey. He went to the Magic Negro, you know. You go and confess to Oprah Winfrey. Now, when I'm talking about the Magic Negro thing, again, for people who don't understand, who are totally offended by what I just said, think about this for a moment. The only time that you see a black person is when we're helping somebody white who did something wrong. Whether it's Uncle Tom having compassion for Simon Legree. Follow me on this. Whether it is Josiah Henson, the model for Uncle Tom, Harry Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom, who had compassion for Simon Legree, the overseer, the man, quote unquote, right? The Magic Negro. Now, that's the American version of the Magic Negro. That's one of them, anyway. You know, now we can go and be somewhat vulgar and talk about the house slave or the house Negro or the house Negro, what have you. And, you know, it's there. But what I'm talking about is the Magic Negro. See, this is the Negro that comes around and, you know, you confess to them. You can confess to them and they give you the penance of shame for about 15-30 minutes. And then you move on with your life and then, you know, you become a hero because you came forward. We saw this in South Africa during the, you know, Truth and Reconciliation Commissions. The men who murdered Stephen Biko on behalf of the apartheid state, on behalf of white South Africa, and to a lesser degree, the Boer population, because where are they now? And I'm not even talking about Ter Blanc. I'm not even talking about him and what was really going down with him and how he met his end with it's incredible. You really need to look up that case, white supremacists in South Africa, and what happened, you know, with his case. He was the leader of the Boer vote. You know, a closet homosexual, obviously, you know, which, you know, in and of itself isn't a problem, but it is a problem when you're taking advantage of people who don't have any power to tell you to fuck off. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is. But see, we have the magic Negro in South Africa, right? All of these abuses ought to be forgiven once the white man comes off and suggests, this is what I did, and yeah, I was a complete racist at the time. And, you know, it wasn't my fault because that was the system and I came forth and told you about it. So, you forgive me and then I forgive you and then we can move on to the new South Africa. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Now, on the media there, they have a show. John Pilger, again, pointed out on his show, apartheid never ended. I believe that's the title of that particular documentary of his for Australian television. No, actually it was for the BBC. Yeah, you know, The Honorable Assassin. That was the name of this particular film, who I believe got caught up later on with the adventure that the Thatcher kid and you know, I really can't remember all these names right now, but the coup that was supposed to go down, oh, forget it. You know, doesn't matter. You know, it's colonialism, brothers and sisters. It's colonialism. We're going to be back with Darcy Delaprosseur. She's reporting from Ireland. She has a spot interview she did with someone that we're going to identify as Alice, speaking about a death row case that you probably haven't heard of. And in light of what happened with Troy Anthony Davis, I think it's a case you want to be informed on. Please stay tuned.
Y'all should buy my CD because I used to sell crack. Y'all should buy my CD because I got shot 3 times at a 3-9 and all that, see? There's a market for niggas. There's a market for niggas that target figures that purchase $100,000 jewelry. And $200,000 automobiles don't fool me. I know pain when I see it. And he would probably give it all away if he hadn't signed his life away just to realize that $1 million was a small price for them to pay for his dignity. And I suppose if I earned $100,000 a show that had already been spent on security, entourage, groupies, and blow, it wouldn't be so sweet. And I hope dead president Talib Kweli realized that it's not that black people don't like positivity. It's simply that we often don't have the disposable income to purchase tons of CDs. But little rich white kids buy CDs 10 at a time. And the more ignorant the nigga, the more they get the piss off their mom. So if the song calls his mother or sister a bitch or says he's willing to kill his brother in order to get rich, it just makes it even better. The bigger the monkey, the bigger the money. Just throw cash at her. Watch her take off her dress. Just throw cash at him. Watch him expose his chest. Somewhere, y'all, right? Right now, there's a prostitute sniffing blow in order to take her mind off of how she earns her living. Somewhere, y'all, right now, there's a rapper sniffing blow in order to take his mind off of how he earns his living. But there's a market for niggas, and spoken word is the shit. But poems don't buy big homes, and poems don't light up wrists. And it might be nice to make all y'all jealous of my bank account, but what's more important is that my mother's respect is priceless. And it used to be back in the days you could cover your face with black face and red lipstick, and black people would hate you, but you would surely get rich. Just take a picture poking out your lips, even watermelon, that would guarantee your show was selling. But nowadays, if you're effectively rapping about gun clapping other black men, say no more, nigga. You platinum, with half a dozen racist billionaires willing to back him. Y'all tell me how that's any different than back then. The more he shows his drawers, the more he gets applause. And if he's willing to play the role of society's savage, then society will make him a star, because there's a market for niggas. Just write some bullshit. There's money to be made in convincing black people that Jill Scott does not exist. Because if a young girl knows she's golden, she won't allow herself to be called no bitch. And it's only common sense that if you take away her self-confidence, she'll believe that dropping it like it's hot for a soldier is an accomplishment. And if it'll increase a young man's chances of going to jail, they'll promote it. I guarantee everybody right now, $1,000, your record is sale as long as it sounds like Willie Lynch wrote it. Just focus on being a stereotype, like you wake up every morning just dying to fight, just snapping pictures of stacking riches and clapping triggers and smacking bitches. You want to get this started? Fuck your pride, nigga. Just act retarded. You think I'm playing? As long as white folk got money, there's a market for niggas.
Don't let the colonial occupation blues get you down. Listen to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The podcast for Intelligent Aboriginals.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that prevents pregnancy. It is not an abortion pill and does not cause an abortion, only the prevention of pregnancy. If you have had unprotected sex or have been raped and need Plan B, contact your local Indian health service. You have a legal right to receive Plan B over the counter, meaning without a prescription or a doctor's appointment if you are 17 or older. Plan B must be taken within 72 hours of sexual intercourse to be effective. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 100.1 en FM.
And I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower of a TV. You know, TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, there's one
terrible president. The only video we've been told exists of the plane flying into the first tower spent the entire day in the videographer's camera at ground zero. So what video did Bush see?
I'm going to stand until I can't stand no more if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Hi, I'm Buffy St. Marie. We have overcome many obstacles in our history as Aboriginal people. We've survived. Today, we must work together, become leaders in the fight to stop the spread of HIV/AIDS in our communities. We have to think about the 7 generations ahead of us. It's a matter of survival.
Go ahead, ready?
I'm Forrest Whitaker for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and this is my daughter, True.
Hi.
Life is full of choices, and many years ago, I chose to become a vegetarian, and it's one of the best choices I've ever made. And since True's dad was a vegetarian, she decided to be vegetarian, too. You may decide to go vegetarian for better health, for a better environment, or you could be like True and I and just decide you don't want to eat meat anymore.
I love animals and I love being a vegetarian.
I'm Forrest Whitaker.
And I'm True Whitaker.
And we're vegetarians.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
And the Democrats are throwing the election away. For what? An inadequate black male? Who would not have been running had it not been a white woman that was running for president. I'm no second-class citizen. And goddamn the Democrats.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
This is APNS Public Radio.
The opinions expressed in dispatches represent the analysis of the participating editors and may not necessarily reflect the group positions of the ANG or its public news wires.
You are now listening to an APNS Public Radio dispatch from Republic of Ireland Bureau Chief Darcy de la Posa. Please visit her website, irishgreeneyes-welcometomeworld.blogspot.com.
Good evening, Alice.
Good evening.
Thank you for coming over to Aboriginal Radio Show. I've been kind of corresponding with you for a while concerning Terence's case, but as you've been the main advocate for Terence, would you like to tell us about his case?
Sure. Terence is from, first we'll start off with his name. His name is Terence Bowman. But he goes by Terence Taylor, not by choice. He's originally from New York, and he has family in North Carolina, and that's what brought him to North Carolina. He was in college at the time, and he went to visit his grandparents, family, and friends during a break from school. And while he was there, he pretty much got caught up, you know, in the system. For being in the wrong place, the wrong time.
Could you update us, like, on his medical conditions?
Okay. With his medical condition, recently he had back surgery on his spine. He's been going. He's been doing testing. I received a letter today. It's where they've been giving blood tests. Recently, they canceled it with no excuse, but they. They do blood tests to try to keep up on his thyroid. He's got thyroid problems. He has, like, his kidneys, check his kidneys and his liver. With him being on death row, He wasn't getting the medical attention that he should have been receiving. He's been fighting throughout the years to get help. The doctor that was on the unit would always deny Terrence access to see him because he was put on death row. So the doctor told him since he was granted death row that he didn't feel the need that he had to treat Terrence. So we started writing. Then we had some supporters online, you know, gather. We made a online. There was a group of people. We all got together, started writing to different people in North Carolina about Terrence's condition, about his liver, his kidneys, his thyroid, his back problems and stuff, which we recently got that resolved because we had a new doctor that was placed on the unit, and she has seen his condition. She doesn't understand how he's still alive today. She sent him for surgery, and when right before he was sent to surgery, she pretty much left the prison because she was helping other inmates get to doctors and get the treatment that they need. Since he's had surgery, he has not been given pain medication. He's been in a lot of pain. Now he's dealing with numbness in his leg and his arm.
What support would you like concerning Terrence's case from the public?
If we can just write to like the different people in office in North Carolina to continue helping him get the medical attention he needs, and then if they can write Terrence alone, and then that way he can let them know, you know, just hearing from them would help Terrence. If they can help him get the word out there, send him like cases and stuff.
Okay, Alice, has the ACLU or the NAACP attempted to intervene in this case?
They have been denying Terrence. The thing with Terrence is they don't like prisoners, inmates, whatever they want to be called. They don't like them when you're smart, you study, you know, you learn the system. They just want you pretty much dumb and stupid. They don't want you to know what's going on. And Terrence, every time he has time to himself, he's always got a book in his right in front of him, and he's working on his case. So ACLU, because Terrence knows so much about, you know, what's going on, they turned on him. And then when I kind of stepped in and started putting more pressure on, I will call them. I'm like, you know, I have somebody. They need some help. They don't have a law library in the prison, central prison. So ACLU, they were supposed to help the inmates because of this. I contact a gentleman at ACLU. He said, sure, you know, I'll help you out. And then next you know, once I mentioned Terrence's name, it's like, no, I'm not going to help. You know, it's like, okay, one minute you tell me you're going to help, but once I mention Terrence's name, you don't want to help anymore.
Okay, so where would you like to take this from now of asking for support? Because we do not want this to be another Troy Davis. So, in your own words, what kind of help would you like to ask people at supporting Terrence to do?
We're trying to raise funds so we can get him a private investigator. That's our goal right now. We're trying to get a private investigator so that way if we can do that, then we're one step closer, get him into the courtroom to get him, you know, his freedom. So our main goal right now is what we're working on is trying to figure out how to raise money so we can get us a private investigator.
Have you got any links to any websites or blogs that are set up for Terrence? I know that he's got his Twitter, he's got a Scoop account, and he's on Stand for the Innocent.
Right, and then he's got a couple of information on, you know, the Facebook, but most of his stuff would be on Twitter, or like some of the stuff that you have helped us with to put his case out there.
Uh-huh.
But pretty much everything that we had before, you know, you stepped up and, you know, been helping us since, they have pretty much disappeared. So we pretty much starting our fresh, and you know, and thanks to you, you know, you stepping up and helping us since we've met you, you know, we're kind of started fresh right about that time because everybody disappeared on us. So the page that we was dealing with on Google, the group, everything pretty much just disappeared.
I understand. Well, thank you, Alice, for coming on. And would you like to give a final, like, say for Terrence?
Let's just bring him home. I mean, I can thank everybody for, you know, taking the time to listen to this. I mean, Terrence would really appreciate it, and I do appreciate it very much.
Okay.
So,
you can look for Terrence's case. You can go to my website, Welcome to My World, irishgreeneyes.blogspot, or you can find me on Facebook, Stand for the Innocence, Twitter. You will find all the links to all my cases that I deal with, Devontae Sanford, Johnny Savory. Johnny Savory has also got a website, thesavoryfiles.com. There is also an online petition for DNA. Same with Devontae Sanford. And my closing speech is thank you for Australian Aboriginal Radio Show for having me, and for activist Alice for supporting Terrence Bowen. And my close speech is out of one becomes many. Be a voice for the voiceless, and thank you.
Anthony Davis, and I've been sitting on Georgia death row for 16 years for a crime I did not commit. It's been a struggle for me and my family, as well as the victim's family, who I sympathize with, really, simply because they have been cheated out of justice just as I have. They deserve justice more than anyone deserves justice. Because of Amnesty's assistance, as well as Arnold and Porter, you know, I'm still sitting here alive today, being able to have a conversation. And I want to thank all Amnesty supporters, you know, all the volunteer workers. I want to thank everyone all over the world, you know, who has been praying for me, supporting me, writing letters and signing petitions and things like that. I want to encourage people to continue to sign the Amnesty petitions and continue to write letters and look into my situation, because this situation could have happened to anyone. But it needs to start with me. It needs to continue to let their voice be heard, because if their voice has not been heard thus far, the parole board probably would have went ahead and let me be executed. You know, my faith in God all these years has kept me strong, because in any other situation, had I not had God in my life and a strong family support base, you know, I would have been given up. You know, there's a couple of guys back here that are dropping their appeals and saying, you know, they'd rather go ahead and be executed than spend the rest of their life in prison. And with me, because I have faith that God will eventually intervene and set things right, you know, it kept me strong. It gave me hope. You should never be able to convict a man or even indict a person, man or woman, without any physical evidence, no whatsoever. I would never take another human being's life. And this killer is still out there. My family's in mourning. The victim's family's in mourning. And the truth is still locked in because I didn't get justice. But in DNA cases, you know, that's physical evidence that you can test. I have no physical evidence to test to prove my innocence. But when these witnesses volunteered to come forth because their conscience was bothering them about the lies that they told on me, when they came forth and signed these affidavits, then that was evidence for me to test. When they took me to that death cell for death watch, 24 hours before the execution, you know, it really affected me and everybody on death row, because you had grown men crying because they've heard about my situation. They know I'm innocent. And they was like, they said, if I couldn't get no justice, nobody could get justice.
Internet radio for smarter originals.
This is Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, and you're listening to a podcast released under a Creative Commons license.
HIV संक्रमितहरूलाई माया, ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरूको अपेक्षा होइन, अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। HIV अरूलाई मात्र होइन, तपाईलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
If you've seen most of this series, I'm sure you understand how the creation of two myths, two lies, produced much of the problems we face concerning black-white relations. For in an effort to create the myth of white superiority, Europeans, including European Americans, had to create the myth of black or African inferiority. The Europeans saw that only by claiming for themselves that which had been created by Africans, could they spread the seeds of black inferiority around the globe. And that they did with such calculated precision that they were able to get the African to reject his own skin, reject his own God. The negative indoctrination of black people by some white Americans reminds one of how elephants are trained. It is said that the elephant trainer starts off training the elephant by putting a large chain around the elephant's neck and pulling on the chain to make the elephant respond to different commands. The elephant trainer uses smaller and smaller chains to get the same responses he had obtained with the more cumbersome chain until finally he is able to use not a chain, but a string. The cumbersome and unwieldy chains of slavery around the world were thrown away after black people had been trained how to respond to alien commands. Many of us are walking around thinking that we have chains on our feet and minds, not knowing that a mere string is keeping us in check. This string is the myth of white superiority and invincibility. What happens when the elephant discovers that a mere string has been stretching between it and independent power? We should all look around ourselves and dare to step beyond the boundaries that have been set for us and our children. Thank you and good evening.
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment into its eighth year now. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a Listen Live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio. A nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right?
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and FirstVoicesIndigenousRadio.org.
Only 28% of Americans believe in evolution.
62% want creation science taught along with evolution in our schools.
44% want creation science taught exclusively.
You are all about to learn that you didn't come from monkeys and slime. All of you were created in the image and likeness of God.
But didn't we evolve from prior organisms?
Yes, we did. Those organisms were named Adam and Eve.
Then why do we share 99% of our DNA with chimpanzees?
The Bible doesn't teach about chimpanzees.
What about redundant DNA and junk DNA? Does the Bible teach about that?
Well, I can tell you one thing. There's no redundant DNA in hell.
Our children are our future.
Let's try not to turn them into dangerous idiots.
This is Radio Intelligente Rindigina.